I want all of you God's children to say to the Father, speak to me tonight. I don't want to hear the words of man. I want you to be the one to talk to me. God, give me the word that I need at this moment. Father, I've come here to listen to you. Only you, Father. Yes, Sandra. Indra Bakuria Bachandra. Sintrope Capintrome. Indra Boko Ponkrima. Shandra Baku. In Jesus' name. Father, we are here like Mary at the feet of Jesus. Lord, there are so many people like Martha who are busy with the things of life. They're worried about many things, but they are missing that which is necessary. But we have come to get at your feet, like Mary, to receive that which is necessary, that will carry us through life, that will help us in a time of storm, that will help us in a time of need. Lord, give us understanding. Give us revelation. Give us instruction. Lord, let there be guidance. Let there be counseling. Let there be impartation. Amen. As you take us through your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Have your seat. I love the word of God. You know, the word of God helps your relationship with God. Praise the Lord. If you want to have a good relationship with God, you better love his word. I'm happy for this opportunity your pastor have given me again to share with you from the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Let's turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to start by telling you how important the word is. And that you need the word in order to grow. How many of you have been opportune to see a child growing to be an adult? Praise the Lord. Now, when you come to Christ, you are assumed to be born. You are born, actually. That's the truth. You are born. When you are saved, you are born. There are two births that is necessary in the life of every human being. The first birth is from your mom and your dad. They conceive you, you develop, you came to that point, your mother gave birth to you. And there was celebration everywhere. I'm sure people brought gifts for your mom. Congratulated your dad that, oh, you're having a baby, bouncing baby. I thank God for the person who gave testimony on Sunday. I heard somebody talk about bouncing baby. Praise the Lord. Now, you were born into a family, and then they gave you a name. That was not all. They started to take care of you, giving you water, milk, and all the kind of food you need. And that gave you a balanced diet, and then you started to grow. And then you started to grow, your bones became stronger. Your teeth started to come out. You cannot bite. Then you know you have arms. Then you know the use of your eyes. Then you know the use of your ears. You know, one of my very little kid here, Jessica, was telling me, Pastor Solomon, what is this? I said, nose. Okay, what about this? I said, all right, what about, you see, she's learning the use of every part of the human body. And then she grows, you grow. When you grow, as you are growing from your bed, you're just growing as a human being. And you're seeing everything in the world. But it gets to a time, you begin to think of what you're going to become. Doctor, lawyer, engineer, pilot, or whatever. And then you come to choose that very part. And in that part, there is a beginning. In that very part you've chosen, there is a beginning. And then you start from the elementary and start to grow in that part until you come to a point you become a professional in that very part. And then you're qualified. You are certified. And then you cannot work with it. It gets to a point they call you an expert. You know what I'm bringing you to? Christianity is just the same way. Praise the Lord. Now, you were not saved. None of us were born saints. None of us were born Christians. But we heard about Jesus and decided to receive Jesus. That moment that Christ came into your heart, you were born into the family of God. You were saved. And I tell you, you were just like that little baby. Born into the family of God. Which simply means you need care. You need to grow. You need to be nurtured. Your spiritual bones need to become strong. Your spiritual ears, you need to know what it is. Then you need to begin to hear with it. Then your spiritual eyes need to begin to be functioning. You need to begin to see it. Then you grow to a point in the Lord that you begin to ask, what is God's plan for me? What is my part in the body of Christ? You cannot just be, look, you cannot just be that bench woman. We say in the churches that have benches. Or here, you don't have benches. Praise the Lord. So I don't know what to call this chair. So you have to tell me. Now, you cannot just be that one sitting on a chair. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years. You're still just that baby. Something is fundamentally wrong with such people. You're still just there sitting down in the church. You're just staying that level of a baby. I don't think any parent, any mother, any father will like to have a 10-year-old child being still a little baby, not growing, not functioning. The eyes are not functioning. The hands are not functioning. The legs are not functioning. You see, that woman will not be happy. God is not happy when we are not growing. He's our Father. God is not happy when we are not becoming what He has designed us to be. And let me tell you something. When you gave your life to Christ, God had a purpose for you. God had a plan. God was happy. You know what the Bible said? He said, heaven rejoice. Oh my God. The day you gave your life to Jesus, there was music in heaven. Huh? Today we don't celebrate that. I don't know why. I tell people, yeah, everybody's doing birthday. I'm not against it. But you know, the day I gave my life to Christ, I celebrate it. You know what I usually do? I've not told my friends this. I call people. I cook food. I invite people. Then I give my testimony and lead people to Christ. That was the day I was born into the most honorable, the most powerful, the most precious, the most worthiest, the most holy family in heaven and on earth, the church, the body of Christ. That was the day you were saved. It's so important. The day that heaven saw you and heaven, in fact, God was happy. There was merriment in heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now you gave your life to Christ. Now you need to grow. When you are not growing, you see, when you are not growing, this is what happens. You see some people, let me tell you something. They say, Pastor, I gave my life to Christ 5 years ago, that very year. I was so happy to come to church and all that and all that. But Pastor, you see, God, so sometime I discover I'm no more interested in Bible study. I'm no more interested in prayer meeting. I'm no more interested in this and that. I find out that things, I just don't know what is wrong with me. You know what is wrong with you? Let me tell you what is wrong with you. You're like that little child. When he was newly born, he likes milk. Mommy, I want to drink milk. Mommy, I need chocolate. And he's always there. And now he was growing with that. He got to a point. Now I'm going to use Nigeria concept. So if you are not from Nigeria, I'm sorry. Just pardon me. Now, the child needs pounded yam, amala, ewedu, beans, rice. And then the child, you're still giving the child milk. You're still giving the child these things. This child has been eating these things through these years. Now the body system is no more, you know, not need something in order to move from that level to another level. Praise the Lord. This is what I used to tell people. They think the church is the problem. I said, no. You need to begin to desire. You must have a desire for more. They've been preaching repentance to you since 5 years ago. They've been preaching, teaching you about repentance. Teaching giving to you. Now you expect that you learned giving 5 years ago, 4 years ago, it was still about giving. 3 years ago, it was still about giving and prosperity. When are you going to understand prosperity? You want me to come here today and still start teaching prosperity? No. The day I heard about giving, I gave, and from that day I've become a giver. I don't need you come from America to teach me about giving. I know it. Now when you hear it, you question it, you doubt it, you forget it, you don't apply it, you need another preacher come tell you. Then somebody shall go to come and tell you 1,001 ways to prosper. Because you refuse to know it. Praise the Lord. And that may not be what you needed at that moment. You needed to know how to pray and pray through. You needed to know how to overcome. But now, this is what you want to hear. But that's not what you need. Because you ought to know this for long, long time. Praise the Lord. So you need to grow. Praise the Lord. You need to grow. You need to grow. And to grow is not only the word you hear from the pulpit like I'm preaching to you right now. You need to begin to feed yourself by yourself. Listen. You need to begin to feed yourself. Because, you know, you agree with me on this. There are times we church decide to eat together. Okay, let's take that as pastor. Say, okay, today we're all eating together. What we want? We want English food. We want African food. We want Jamaican food. Or what do we want? Now we all go eat together. But that's not every day. We don't have that time every day. You cook at home, don't you? You make your own food to feed yourself. That's how it is. Now this is the season to study the Bible. Now we all came together. What about when you're at home? Do you take pleasure? There's difference between reading, just reading like newspaper. I see some people read the Bible like newspaper. And sometimes when I quote a place in the Bible, in our ministry in Nigeria, then somebody stand up to read. And he's just reading. I said, no, when I enjoy something, I'm not in a hurry. When you give me good food, I never ever like that food to get finished. When it's getting finished, I say, I wish it doesn't get finished. I like to enjoy what I enjoy. So stay. Don't rush me. You're just reading. Okay, for example. And Jesus said, they that believe on him. No, and Jesus said, they that believe on him. I said, no. And Jesus said, pause. I want to digest it. And Jesus said to him, pause. Jesus said to him, the him is no more there. Now Jesus is speaking to who now? To me. Now I put myself there. I begin to meditate. Jesus is talking to me now. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Who is the you? Me. I take note. I meditate. I walk on that. Then that word digests into my system. Then the Holy Spirit that I have begins to teach me and bring revelation and understanding out of it. Those that believe in me. Am I not a believer? Yes. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Ah, so he's talking to me, the believer. The very work that I do, they shall do also. Now listen to this. Okay, that gets me up. You know what I do when I get to that? Hey, that moves me up. I just leave the Bible. The very work that I do, that's Jesus and me. I begin to think, the very work he did, I will do. What stops me from doing that? Nothing. If Jesus says it, I believe it. The work he did, I'm qualified to do it. What qualifies me to do it? Because I believe in him. Not because I'm black. Not because I'm white. Not because I'm rich. Not because I'm poor. Not because I'm married. Not because I'm divorced. Not because I'm single. Hallelujah. Not because I'm a doctor. Not because I'm a lawyer. Just because of what they that believe. Oh, praise the Lord. I meditate, then I grow. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Now turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Yes. We've read in verse 2. Look at this scripture. In order for you to be a successful Christian, you must grow in the Lord. Verse 2. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. 3. If so be you have truly tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now look at this. Desire the milk of the word. Are you with me? Now, God wants you to grow like parents want their children to grow. God is your father. Now he wants you to grow. He wants you to develop, to become what? He wants you to become a disciple. He wants you to become strong. He wants you to become victorious. He wants you to become conqueror. He wants you to become an overcomer. He wants you to become, look, he wants you to become everything that's written in the word, in his word. Now, in order to become this, it doesn't happen overnight. Let me tell you, no matter how many bottles of olive oil that is poured on your head, that is not enough. You have to grow in the Lord by yourself. Praise the Lord. Some of you just want it like a racket, just like that thing they do in the airport. Sometimes when I get to Heathrow Airport, they bring one card. They say, fill it, just do this and that, and then if you win, you're going to have so kind of car. That's how some of us want it. You just run from your house. Yes, one man of God is around. Yes, 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 yes. You just go to him. Hey, pastor, I want to be this, I want to be that, I want to be this, I want to be that. Oh, you got the anointing. You just slap my head and just get my head, and then I'm just automatically going to be. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. I must tell you the truth. That's why some of you get disappointed when it doesn't happen. Then you see another preacher come. He's going to tell you the same thing. 3 years ago, you came to this church. You told us, in 2 days, all of us are going to be millionaires. Didn't happen. 2 years ago, you came back and shouted and screamed. And told us in 6 months' time, it never happened. Now again, you're repeating the same old story. Whose fault? Whose fault? Is it my fault? It's your fault. Because you did not go to his word and grow and become an adult. When you grow in the Lord, it gets to a point when somebody is preaching, you know whether he's talking for himself or God is talking through him. I tell you, I can sit down there and get somebody to preach. Sometimes I see people, they say, God say, and they are just talking from their head. And I just smile. I say, hey, brother, you're wasting your time. God never spoke through you. You know why? It hits my spirit and go away. And the Holy Spirit says, that's not me talking. That's not me talking. He's pushy, washy, lying. That's not me talking. Now, what stops you from coming to that level? That's the level God wants you to be. If a deceiver comes, you will know, hey, everybody just look at each other. Oh, I love that. Can you imagine? The devil doesn't push us around. We just look at each other. Mr. Jaden, Mr. Grace, just look at each other. What is it? Agreement. Something has happened inside of our heart. The Holy Ghost is saying, mm-mm. Not me. Then we just look at each other's face and say, something, something's wrong there. That's not right. Then when you see a man talking from the Spirit, look, the Holy Ghost in you bear you witness. And you begin to see the Holy Spirit say, yes, that's it. You see yourself from where you are. That's it, that's it, that's it. Yeah, that's God talking. What stops you from growing to that level? The opportunity is there for you. That's what God desires for you. That's why he said you need to desire the sincere meek. And now, when you desire the sincere meek of the word, you need to start from the ABC. Instead of grow up, then from meek, you can come to the solid food. Praise the Lord. Then from the solid food, then you can come to eat in the bones. Then you come to the apostolic level. You come to the prophetic. Some people talk about prophecy and the prophetic. They don't understand the New Testament of the prophetic ministry. Now some people say, I'm an evangelist. I see some evangelists in the church. I say, hey, brother, if you're an evangelist, you have to be in the street. You have to be in the church. The evangelistic ministry, look at the word evangelize. Evangelist. Evangel. He that bears the good news. I've had the good news. I don't need you evangelist. I need a teacher teach me. I need a prophet. I need a pastor. I don't need you evangelist because I've been evangelized. Then some people say, but we still have some sinners in the church. Let me tell you. They've heard the good news. They need to accept the good news. Evangelists, go out. So you come to a level of maturity. When you are going, you'll be able to say, the Spirit of the Lord said to me. How many of you can say that? Hey, pastor, what do you mean? Me? Who am I that God should talk to me? Who told you you are nobody? What qualifies you to hear from God is the blood of Jesus that took away my sin and took away your sin. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of the living God. So what are you talking about? Why can't God talk to you? Why are you belittling yourself when God says you are a royal priesthood? Hey, we are all priests. Hey, hey, hey. Holy people. Peculiar people. Come, don't touch me anyhow. I'm so peculiar. Are you not? Isn't that what God says you are? I am what God says I am. You know that song? I am what God says I am. I'm a winner and not a loser. I am what God says. My brother, be careful. I am what God says I am. Devil, for one. Be one. I am what God says I am. I am a winner and not a loser. I am what God says. Praise the Lord. Now the Bible says here, desire. Now what is your desire? Desire the word. Now desire the word. When you desire the word, when you hear the word, when you study the word, not just read. When you study, let me tell you the secret. Apply the word. See, apply the word. Amen? What did I say? Apply the word. Now, every word you read, you study and hear, apply it. That's how to see God move. That's how to see God work. If you hear the word and put it off, you're never going to see God. If you hear the word and you listen and you take it and you apply it, see what God does. He confirms his word. Listen. It's such a simple thing to do. He confirms his word. It's like you say, take one and another one and put it together. It becomes two. So if you want two, what should you do? You take one and another one and put it together. That's how God's word works. Let me tell you, that's what we call
the rhema and the logo, the written and the spoken word. Now, this is the written word. It's here for you. But when you take it and then apply it, the Holy Spirit that dwells in you comes upon it and makes that word real. It makes the word alive and make the word like you were just hearing it now, and then confirms that word. Let me give you an example. Don't get me wrong. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, good measure, shaking together, pressed down, and running over. Now, if I want to prosper, if I want to have a blessing, let's talk about running over. I'm just giving you an example. Let me talk about running over. It shows it's full, and then over full, and then it pours out, and it runs out. Now, I don't need somebody to force me to give. Praise the Lord. I don't need somebody to cajole me. I don't need somebody to use, you know, different method to empty my pocket. I know that when I'm a giver, I'm going to have a running over blessing. Then I go to the next scripture that says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Which simply means people who give are more blessed than people who receive. Therefore, if I want to prosper, I need to learn to give. So I don't need somebody to force me. I don't need somebody, you know, to use one way or the other to enter me. Now listen, I'm coming. I told you, don't get me wrong. I'm coming. Now, when it comes to giving, you go to study. How do I give in order to prosper? You know, I know one man of God. He's somebody that lives by the word of God. And then God told him one day, you know, the church bought a brand new, you know, Cadillac for him in America. They bought for him. You know, he's a very faithful man, and he's doing wonderful in the ministry. So they bought and presented it to him. He was very happy. Cadillac was raining then. And then the Lord said to him, look at it, the Lord said to him, after a little while, take this Cadillac, go give it to such and such a preacher. And this man just took this. Please don't get me wrong. Just open your heart, be neutral. And give it to that man. And walk then home. When he got home, Kenneth Copeland called him and said, hello, the Lord asked me to give you a brand new plane, and gave him a brand new plane. Look at this. Now, he came to the church. Let me tell you something. He came to the church, thousands of people, and gave the testimony. You know what his neighbors did? They did not listen to know that God spoke to him. Everybody went everywhere, giving their cars away, giving their houses away, giving everything away, and they got what? Nothing. That's why I told you, don't get me wrong. I'm teaching you now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, when you are giving, you have to listen. But you have to grow first. You have to grow first. You have to grow. If you're not growing, you won't be able to operate in this level. You just don't have to be content in the level you are. That's why I told some people, was it yesterday? Instead of fighting one another, let's fight to know the Lord. Let's fight to grow so that we can be where we ought to be. Now, and instead of coming back to him, we're not getting anything. I get my brand new house, I call somebody and gave, I ain't got nothing. What's wrong with me? And he said, did God ask you to give it up? You didn't listen to that part. You didn't hear that part. Then, that's when
Because some of you don't know how to put scripture together. You need to study here, study there, and put it together. Now, the Bible talks about giving, being sowing. Now, when you want to sow, oh, I don't know why I'm saying this now. I'm just going, okay, but God knows why. When you want to sow, you have to think about farming. Who will carry a seed and go on top of the rock and plant it and expect it to grow and produce fruit back to you? Who will go to a land that is not fertile and go and sow? Therefore, before you carry something and sow and give, check that ground. Because you don't want to waste anything. You want to prosper. You want that thing to come back in hundredfold, in thousandfold, in millionfold. Check that ground. That is wisdom. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Check that ground. Now, what do you check? For example, is this a good ground for me to sow this? What's this person doing? What's he going to do with my money? Is this ministry when he sows to Christ? For example, I'm giving you an example. Are there souls that are coming to the Lord? Am I just going to buy more cars for this man and he's going to be talking more about the cars he owns, the property he owns? Or is this man turning sinners to Christ? Is he turning Muslims to Christ? Is he turning? What is he doing? Not everything you just throw, you're giving to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, how will you know this? You need to assess what you're doing. Now, when you assess what you're doing and check properly, and then with joy, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. That's another point. You have to know when you're giving, you're grumbling. You're not getting anything back. Look at that. You want to give? You're forcing me to give today. Everybody must do this. I tell people, if you're not happy when you're giving, don't give. That thing, you just throw it away. Can you imagine you take 1,000 pounds? Throw it away. Can you imagine you took 2,000 pounds out of your salary? You're going to give it more. I just took it and threw it away. And then you threw it away to the garbage bin and you were expecting it to return. They are coming to squeeze it up with other garbage. They're taking it away. Where they do a... It's gone. It's not coming back. That's why if I want to give, I check myself. Am I happy? Listen. Am I cheerful? Am I rejoicing? Do I see this? I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm coming to that now. When you give, is it unto the Lord or unto man? Because when it's unto the Lord, that gives you joy. I don't think you'll be sad when you're giving God something. Anybody here? Praise the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if you know, hey, how many of you are here? If Jesus were to be standing here and you were to give him something, how many of you would be sad? But how many of you would really be happy to see that this thing is going to the Lord? How many of you? Praise the Lord. Now, if you know that you're giving this thing to the Lord, he's the Lord. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. It will give you joy. And then you give to the Lord. Now the Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it unto the Lord. For it is of the Lord you get what? Reward. So if you're not sure it's the Lord you're doing it for, then do it. It He said, whatsoever you do it in the name of the Lord. For it's of the but because it's from him you're going to get the reward. So if you know you're going to get a reward, if you know you're going to get a reward, you must be happy. If you know, if I put down this handkerchief, I'm going to get big clothing from the Lord, I will happily give it. So when you're doing something, that's what I say. When you sing, do it unto the Lord. When you clean the church, do it unto the Lord. You lead in prayer, do it unto the Lord. So if pastor didn't say thank you, you don't get offended. Mark this. There's some people there. They said, despite all I'm doing, pastor does not recognize it. He still comes to the pulpit. He praises everybody, doesn't praise me. You are the most blessed. You're the most blessed. And he praised the other people, and you feel you are slighted. Then what are you going to do now? You're going to come to church again. I won't come to this church. They don't recognize what I do. You know what? You're the richest. Because what you're doing it for who? But if you're doing it for pastor's recognition, you're surely going to be discouraged. You're surely going to change church. You're surely going to go out. You're surely going to backslide. But if you know, well, I don't care. He's preaching unto the Lord. I am cleaning the church unto the Lord. And the Lord reward him for his preaching. And the Lord reward me for my... come on. I'm going to continue doing my... If he's not stopping his, why do I want to stop my... If I'm the one sponsoring all the programs of the church, and pastor come up, did not give me a deacon. He didn't make me a deaconess or a deacon. But he went to pick somebody else and made him a deacon.
Okay. But look at all I did. Now, he didn't make me a deacon. He didn't make me a deaconess. Even an elder. Even just a leader. Oh, this man just came. There's tribalism in this church. There's nepotism in this church. There's racism in this church. All the grammar in the world. There is apartheid in this church. Okay. And now, I'm going to stop. Don't stop. Wait on the Lord. Let me tell you something. When you are doing something unto the Lord, and the Lord decides to promote you, nobody can get you down. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
When the Lord says... That's why Paul said, I am an apostle, not of men, neither by man. Look at that. I am an apostle, not of men, neither by men. I'm not made apostle by men. I'm not apostle by from men. I am the apostle of the Lord. And the Lord proved that and confirmed his calling, his ministry with signs and wonders. When you make people apostles, for example, if God is not calling you to be an apostle, and I just like you because I like your face, I like your hairstyle, I like your shape, I like everything about you, and I'm crazy after you and decide to make you my assistant, and then call you up and get a bottle of olive oil and pour it on your head, and then I call you Apostle Mrs. What's that your name? Tell me. What's your name? Kemi. I like that. Apostle Mrs. Kemi. Of course, you could come to church and do Thanksgiving and dance what the Lord has done for me. I cannot tell it all what the Lord has done for me. I cannot tell it all what the Lord... Is it the Lord that did it for you? It's not the Lord, though. It's human being that gave you. You can perform. Because the Lord did not gift you. The Lord did not appoint you. That's why when you appoint leaders, you have to ask God, what is this one good for? What do you call this person for? You go say, Apostle. Okay, Apostle, come into it. What's this one for? Singing. Lord, what's this one for? Administration. What's this one for? Lord, I got to pray, I don't get this clear, Ordain this one, deacon. But he got no money. He got no job. God says, that's the deacon. But God, He got no good clothes. He live in one room. God says, that's my taking. What about that man who got everything? God says, leave him. I tell you what I've called him to be. Then the church begin to be a thriving church. Not thriving in evil, but in growth, in joy. You see the glory of God. Like a flavor on top. You know, they call it the icing of the cake. Like that thing on top. You see a mess on top. You see the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, you say, how shall we get there, Pastor? We like this thing you are telling us. How do we get there? Every one of us have this responsibility. We've got to tell ourselves, I need to desire to grow. Let's stop pointing accusing fingers. I need to grow. I need to feed on the word so that my spirit man can grow. Your spirit man need the word, the spiritual food to grow, like your physical being need the physical food to grow. This is very important. It's something you have to work on. That's why it's necessary to get some good books. Not every Christian book is good. Some good books to read as a backup. You buy books on faith. I go to churches and see beautiful men and beautiful women. But you go to their homes, you don't see good books. You got good cars, you got good kitchen. All the good things in the kitchen. Go to your office, all the good things are there. Come to the house of God, all the good things that could make your body comfortable. But you don't have the things that make your spirit comfortable. There are books written on holiness, faith, giving, Holy Spirit, how God speaks, how to discern the voice of the Spirit. Some of you worry, oh, Pastor, I'm afraid. I don't know. Praise the Lord. I don't know how God speaks. I don't know if it's God talking to me or my flesh. Now, there are books written on how to discern between your voice, the voice of the Spirit of God, and the voice of the devil. Now, Pastor, how will I know that this prophecy is from God? If somebody is prophesying, how will I know? There are books written on steps to judging prophecy. Everything you want to know, you need to get these sound books. Use them to study your Bible. Get them, and then you grow. It's like menu book. Like if you go to Chinese restaurant or whatever, anywhere you want to eat, they bring one thing for you. You know what you call that. And you choose what you want to eat. Spiritual things. In fact, what you see in the physical is a borrow. It's an extension of what goes on in the spirit. You need this thing. And I ask every one of you, how many good books do you have? Prayer. Books on prayer. I want to be a prayer warrior. Okay, I'm going to study. Then you see testimony of people who have through prayer succeeded in life. You start to read. You get challenged. But instead of us to do this, we got in our homes videos and movies. Horrible, horrible, horrific videos and movies of that makes us suspect one another. You watch those things that you see one little girl, she was having one spirit, and one man went to hire her to be her house girl, and eventually she used the demons in her to make the man to lust after her and stole the man from the wife, and the man eventually drove the wife away. And then I ask you, brother, what are you doing with this kind of book? And you say, I'm learning from it. You're learning from this? And then when I walk into your house, you say, this may be somebody coming to steal my husband. That's what I find believers doing. They feed themselves with fear. When you watch those things, you'll be
become afraid. You got no faith. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now you need to build your faith. If God says, without faith, you can't please me, what are you doing? Go get your faith. Go grow your faith. Go learn about faith. God says, without it, you can't please me. Then I need it because I want to please God. Hey, I'm a child of God. I want to do something for God. I want to follow God. God say, hey, wait. Stop there. Without faith, you can't please me. It's impossible. Look at that word. Without faith, it is impossible. Wow. So if I got no faith in my life, there's nothing I can do to please God. Now, how do I have faith? How do I have faith? How many of you want to please God here? I. You want to please God. Now God says, there's something if you don't have, you can please me. Then you should be worried about how to get that faith. Now, one of the ways and a sure way to get faith, the Bible says, faith cometh by what? Hearing. You can get it in the book of Romans. Are you here? If you're here, give Jesus praise. Let's clap for Jesus. Let's give Jesus praise. Amen. Now look at what he said. Faith come by hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. Which means for your faith to grow, you need to stay under the word of God. The testimony of other people builds your faith also. Praise the Lord. Did you hear what I'm saying? I just gave you two instances. The word and the testimony of others. I've seen people. For example, I give you this example. There was this preacher in America. He was not so sound in the faith. He was nowhere grounded, but he became a pastor. God was using him. He was well known. And then one day, he just preached. In fact, his message touched people. Miracles even happened. To the extent, people were stoning him with dollars. People were so blessed that they started, you know, pouring money on him. He was so blessed. He blessed the people, and the people blessed him back. Then when he was going home, he met somebody who was drunk. And the person just came to him. Hey, they know me, it's not useless, pastor. You useless pastor, you the one preaching in the house every day. I see you preaching with a battle. And he told the man, come on, get out of the way. The man just grabbed him. You let me get out of the way. And took the bottle. And he pushed the man. And the bottle fell on him. Then he left there. And the devil said, look at it. That's why ignorance is a disease that only knowledge can cure. He left there. He became so sad. How come this can happen to me? Oh, God, I have committed the unpardonable sin. That's to show you that his knowledge, despite God was using him, his knowledge of God's word was shallow. The devil twisted that scripture. And this man, you know what he did? He didn't go home that night. He just started going and going and going. The wife was waiting. Listen. Going and going and going. He was thinking and worried. He didn't eat. Then he saw a group of drunkards. He said, am I better than these ones? If I can fight? He just joined them. And started drinking. But you know what God did? God knew he was ignorant. God never left him. God is love. First year, second year, third year, fourth year, 10th year. The wife. Some women. The wife did not see him at home. But you know, for these 20 years, this woman was praying. Wherever darling went, he must come back home. They kept praying.
She brought up the children. They had children. She never let the children, you know, like that is not at home. Everybody doing what she kept on. She said, I know the Lord. I know what he promised me. And you know what? Everywhere the man went, the Spirit of God would say, go back home. I have nothing against you. He would say, no, I'm a sinner. Have you ever heard God talk to you like that? God will comfort you, but your head will start telling you something different. When you will be alone, the Holy Spirit will say, I have nothing against you. Go back home. Then he will say to himself, jump, no, I'm a sinner. You know some of us are like that? For example, you know, the sin you committed many, many years ago, some time ago, you've confessed it to God and God has forgiven you. Anytime you want to pray, the devil comes. He knows you want to talk to God. He knows you want to fellowship with God. He knows you want to worship God. He comes. Then when you say, ba, 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 you hear, ko, 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 ko. Who are you to be babaing there? Do you know what you did in the year 1990-something? Are you not? Then the thing will just come to your mind. Then your confidence goes. Condemnation comes. Instead of worshiping God and fellowship with the Father, you say, God, forgive me, mercy. Ah! This sin that I've been forgiven and forgotten. Oh, God, I know I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. Oh, God, have mercy. You start telling God again and again. And the devil says, yes. Yes. You're a sinner. A big one indeed. How can he forgive you? How can? He won't. He will even judge you. He will kill you. He will never answer you. Then from there, you stop prayer. You get up sad. And you go without sadness and sleep. Then in your sleep, you see that same spirit of the devil. Because now your mind is so weak, so polluted. See that same spirit coming to you in your dream. Yes, God cannot forgive you. Don't ever pray. You need deliverance, safe. Look, you need help. Don't ever pray. Then you just wake up. Hey, oh, Father, isn't my dream confirm it? It was because your mind was polluted. That's why the devil have opened door. Don't come. Oh. Then, you see such people coming to the house of God. They are never happy. Watch them. They are the ones that sit down. They put their Bible here. They put their handbag here. Their shoe goes under. They are always scattered. Praise the Lord. Oh my God. You never watch them. They always scatter. When you say, Genesis chapter, you will begin to look for Bible. Pastor said, let's open to Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. You begin to look for Bible. He will say, is there any cover? Here's my Bible. He brings it. They say, let us give offering. Then, you see, he begins to look for his handbag. Look, okay. It's not my fault, Jared. Bring text out of it. After closing, everybody, let's pray the final prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for today's fellowship. Oh, praise God, everybody. I wish you a good weekend. Then, he starts to go with just socks on. Just remember, my shoe. You know what? You know why? Ignorance. My Bible tells me, if I confess my sins and forsake my sins, God will have mercy on me. I don't need the devil to condemn me. Because the Bible said, there is now therefore no more condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It's over. I was preaching to the church. I said, do you know all of you are virgins here? Do you know all of you are virgins? By the virtue of the blood that was shed on the cross. When the Bible says, listen, if any man be in Christ, all things are gone. All things become new. That means I've made you a virgin. New. What is new? Maybe my English is not good enough. Hey, those of you that went to grammar school, please correct me. What is new? My knowledge tells me that is something that I've not been tampered with. Am I correct?
please correct me. This is an English country. When we are coming from Africa, we are careful. Because England, please, so new. Something that have not been tampered with. New. It has not been used, sir. New. 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 You are new. Brand new. Okay.
If you bought a car and it says brand new, what does that mean? It has not been used before. Am I wrong? I'm wrong. I'm right. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Then you bought a new Bible. You say it's a new Bible. What does that mean? So you're the first person to go through the pages. That's why sometimes when you open some page, you see two pages are now you are the person to this virgin that page. Am I right? So the blood of Jesus made all of us virgin. To give you more revelation on this, you know, I was teaching on the 10 virgins one day. And people in the church said, hey, we never understood it this way. Let me give you a little bit of that revelation. 10 virgins. 5 were foolish. 5 were wise. Now, can you imagine? What does that mean? These are 10 born-again Christians. That they were virgin simply means they were saved. They were born again. But you know what happened? 5 were wise. 5 were foolish. The wise ones, they grew. They fed themselves with the word of God. They had everything, you know. And at the time of temptation, they had enough in their reservoir. They had enough of the word of God to stand against temptation, to prepare for the coming of the Lord. But the foolish ones, they're born again. They come to church. Just salvation. They don't know faith. They don't know prayer. They don't know about the name of Jesus. They don't know how to overcome the devil. They were just there in that level. And then the Lord wanted to come. The sound of his coming. What is the sound of his coming? Now people don't know that scripture. That scripture is deep. The sound of his coming. There will be troubles in the world. Earthquakes, famine, trials, different things. That's when you see these brethren, the 5 foolish ones. They're born again like you. They begin to knock from house to house. Brother, I couldn't sleep last night. I don't know why I'm worried. And brother, you are praying, no? You don't have time. You tell them, please, I don't have time. Hey, sister, nah. I say church will be the go. Hey, please, hey, sorry, I'm speaking pidgin. Hey, this is England. We need to speak grammar. Please, hey, we're in the same church, eh? I was sleeping. Then I felt something just went through my body. I couldn't sleep till daybreak. What is that? You say, well, I'm having my prayer time now. When I finish, I will attend to you. Hey, I can't wait. Okay, I know that sister. She's always smiling. She's in the church. She knows how. Okay. Hey, sister, come your chemistry. Which one? Okay. Hey, sister. Hey, please. You're just in a hurry. You're going out. Please, give me attention. Hey, excuse me. Can you come by 4? Oh, no. Please, no. I don't have time now by 4. But excuse me. Do you care? Hey, I don't know what is wrong with me. I couldn't sleep last night. Okay, come by 4. I have time for you by 4. I'm going out for prayer meeting. Oh, my God. In the process of that, you see these believers jumping from one prayer house to another prayer house. From one man of God to another fake man of God. A lot of them have been abused. A lot of them have been deceived. A lot of them have been cheated. A lot of them have fallen away. Before Christ come, you see many of them fall away. So that they were 10 virgins means they were all saved. But 5 were foolish. Are you among the 5 foolish ones or are you among the 5 wise ones? Please join the wise ones. Please. My recommendation. Appreciate me for that. By giving Jesus praise with your hands, please. You've got to be among those who are in the forefront. Digging deep into God's word. Living by his word. Applying his word. Moment of temptation and trial, you stand strong. You stand strong. Hey. Let's turn to Hebrew. I don't want to be a foolish virgin. Hey, yeah, I'm a virgin, but you are foolish. No, I don't want that. I don't want that in my life. Yes, I'm born again. I'm a member of Apostolic Faith Mission. In fact, I've been born again for 50 years. When they say, let us pray. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for today. Oh Lord, as you are going to take over the service, it's a go. You know how many people are scoring balls with their head in the church? I'll tell you, we've got many, many, many gold ball headers. Empty ball, the head into the empty net in the house of God. God have a prayer meeting. You see, settle that. You've been Christian for how many years? You're boasting about how many years you've been Christian. You can pray for 1 hour. You can pray for 30 minutes. You see, talking that you've been Christian for many years. You don't know how God speaks in the church? Yes, Pastor. In fact, my former church, I'm one of the Baba Egbe there. He's not here there with this young pastor. Will be controlling me as if I'm a little kid. How do you want to tell me you've been Christian for years? Let me see the fervency that of the spirit in your spirit. Let me see how prayerful you are. Let me see how many people you're bringing to church. Let me see how you're healing the sick. Let me see how strong you are. Not today. You are making the church sleep. Ice block. Deep freezer. Look at you. Anywhere you are sitting down, you inject sleep into everybody on that road. Just look at it. Yes, you are sitting there. I'm Baba. I'm Baba. Everybody got to respect me. Then when they are praising God, hey, if you are strong in the spirit, during praising, you should be dancing and praising God. But look at you, Baba. Yes, you want to be respected. Then when they are praying, you should be number one. When they are giving, you should be number one. You want to be respected. Everything should be forefront. But only trouble, you are forefront. Okay. When they make trouble, you're number one. But when they're doing good things, you are last. Okay. Now look at it. And Baba, I say, okay, today we're going to pray. Now, we're going to declare spiritual warfare. We want to root out all the principalities and powers that are operating in Essex, that are operating in London. Then, you see, as everybody is praying in the spirit, and Baba, what is happening now? Yes. Essex. Yes, devil in Essex. I'm having sleep in excess. I'm having excessive sleep. Excess. It's a go. Tell somebody, not me. Tell somebody, not me. Praise the Lord. I want to be number one for Jesus. How many of you want to be number one for Jesus? Yes, that's how it should be. That's how it should be. You need the word. You know what Jesus said? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Which means, you don't need just physical food, natural food, to survive in this world. You need the word of God to live in this world. You need to apply it to live in this world. That's why when you see forward going Christian in every situation, they quote the scripture. The Bible says, it is written. They are like Jesus. When the devil came to tempt him, it is written. Because they have it. The Bible says. This is what the scripture says. This is what the scripture says. But look at others. They are fond of. My grandmother used to say. My grandfather used to say. From morning till evening, he remembers what his grandfather used to say. The parable of his grandmother. The parable of his father-in-law. But never remember. Tell somebody, not me. Hey, tell somebody, not me. Okay, I'm going to stop now. Because we've got a long way to go, but we need to stop today. Amen. Now listen. Let's go to Hebrews together, then we'll just round up there for tonight. Then we come to pray together. Amen. Oh, Hebrew chapter 4. You need a word. You need the word as food. Not the word as newspaper. As food. You need the word as food. Cook it. You can cook it. I know how to cook. I love cooking. You can cook that word. And I just gave you some tidbits. And I don't know if that's what you call recipe for or whatever. I just gave you some. I just told you, to get some good books that helps you. Praise the Lord. It guides you on a particular topic. Now you desire to be a woman of faith. Then you need to study about faith and how to apply faith. Now you desire to be a woman of prayer. So you need to study things like that. Now you want to be a giver because you want to prosper. You need books that talks about good giving, how to sow, how to give, where to put your money, where not to put it, not to throw your money just anywhere. You know, you need to grow. Praise the Lord. Then you want to know about marriage. You know, see the way people marry? And then they start crying. You want to marry. And you go out. You go to the clubhouse. And you go get a man. You drag him to church. Ah, look at you, queen, princess of the Lord. I'm going to get a fit person from the clubhouse to come and pollute you. You think you have power to save people? Say, Pastor, I think God can change him. But your other brother is not a Christian. You've never forced that one to be saved. What about those in your family that are not saved? You never forced one to be saved. Now you so much need a husband. Now you think he's in the world. The man will come and enjoy your good body. Ooh. Those good things you'll be preserving for years. After he has finished sapping them away, you're going to find fault now. You're going to say your church is not good. You're going to say your pastor is not doing well. You're going to say you're not smelly. You're going to say your religion is too much. You're going to start telling you, you know, you go to church too much. Now it's going to dump you back to the church. This is where you drag me to. You make me the clubhouse. You don't want to go with me in the clubhouse. That's where you find me. That's where I'm going back. You're going back and start crying. Pastor Solomon, please help me. What is the problem? He's my man. Where did you find him? You want to marry? Where are you seeking? You want the best. And you find the best among the worst? You want the best. You can only find them in the house of God. That's why you attend conferences. Because you never know. You never know. They're doing good conference. You're at home sleeping. And say you're looking for the best? Are you finding him in your dream? Praise the Lord. You want the best. You don't get the best by being naked, out in the street, advertising your good body. That's how you get the best. No good brother will look at those things. No holy person will look at those things. When you come naked before him, he will say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You want me to fall? I won't fall. You can only get those rotten ones that are not ready for Jesus. They are the ones that will look at those things. They are the ones that look at this and that and this and that. Those who are real, they look at your heart. They look at you from the face of the Lord. They look to see how faithful you are in the house of God. They look to see how strong you are. They look to see how committed you are. But those ones who are in the world of the world, they come, they want to see your yellow lips. They want to see your brown eyes. They want to see how your buttocks is like the trailer my father refused to use. They want to see how your head is shining. Because those are the things they want. But you know what happens? If you say, this is what they want, and this is what I want to give them, let me show them, they will get it from you, they will mess it up, and then you will lose those things, and then they will dump you. So I tell people, you want to find a husband? You want to find a good wife? And you are good indeed. Be good. Because if you're not good, you're looking for good things, you're looking for trouble. Now you want to marry, and you're a prostitute. You don't stay in one place. You want to marry a man who is not a prostitute. How does that work? Do you think he will be happy? No, look at that. Now, okay, let's come home now. Now, Pastor, let's look at this. Now,
You want to marry a holy man. You want to marry a holy woman. And you don't want to be holy. Do you think he's praying or she's praying for someone who is not holy? Is God going to punish him for his holiness with your holiness? No, big question. No, how many of you holy here? We want God to come and give you somebody that is so much unholy. You will say, God, what have I done to deserve this? Praise the Lord. Therefore, let's tell each other the truth. Let's tell each other the truth. And what is the truth? I want the best. Then I make myself among the best. So that when the best see the best, it will say, God. I want a Christian. Then I'm a Christian. I'm praying. I'm talking to God. I'm working with my pastor. I can see my pastor carry a suitcase. I can hold it for him. I joined a prayer group. You know how I know people who are strong in the church? Prayer group. How many of you are in prayer group? Prayer group? Those are the strong people. I'm not talking of those who go there to make people sleep, but I'm talking of those. I'm talking of those who are really praying. Praise the Lord. Prayer group. Prayer group. They go there to pray. They don't run away from it. If you organize, if we say tonight, everybody come for feasting. Food. Food. Call for prayer. That's where you see the committed Christians. Like begets like. Who you are is what you will attract. I want to stop here. Because, you know, it's so sweet. Jesus is so wonderful. I enjoy God. I was saying in the car when I was coming. I said, I have a deep relationship with God that I enjoy. He's so sweet, so wonderful. I don't want to lose him. I can lose everything for Jesus. Because I know when I have Jesus, I can get everything. So I have to first get him. Get settled with him. Hold him. Be strong in him. So that he can supply all my needs. I want to know him. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. I gave up this and that. Everything that was gained to me. Just because I want to know him. You must desire that. Let's just read the scripture. Then we'll pray. I want you to know so much about God's word. Hebrews chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. Are you there in verse 12? Okay, I want all of you to read for me. One, two, go. Everybody, one, two, go. And spirit. And of the joints and marrow. And he said, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what we are talking about. See, time will not allow me to dwell on every word here. Because when you're feeding yourself, when you're studying, you take note of every word. You try to understand every word. And then you apply it. I would like to stop here. Just for today. But I want to encourage you. Take the word. Apply it in your daily life. And God will manifest himself. And confirm his word in your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise up to pray. Let's rise up to pray. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Father, say again, Father, I choose your word as honey, more than gold and silver,
I hunger for your word. I desire your word. From the meek level to solid food, and then to bones. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, equip me. Equip me with your word. Grow me up with your word. And prepare me for your use, for your service, for your purpose for my life. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Manifest your word in my life to me. Confirm your word in my life to me. From now, I want to see your word fulfilled in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'm going to pray for you. Father, I've just given you a word. Lord, I ask that this word will produce good fruits in their lives. That they will see their life exactly the way you want it to be. That their desire will come to pass. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, everybody.